It's Vespers at the Church of San Miniato al Monte in Florence, and members of the Viri Galileo Choir are helping the monks at the evening service, singing Gregorian chants. For the choristers, all volunteers, it's a labour of love.
When you enter these churches, already you suspect there is something here that we don't have in our daily lives anymore. Then hearing these chants, it enriches the environment even more. They create such an atmosphere, you feel as if you are in paradise.
When Enzo Ventroni formed the choir around 20 years ago, the chants were little known and less loved. For centuries, they'd accompanied the Roman Catholic Mass and other ritual services. But in the 60s, they were discarded for folk singing, guitars and local languages. Enzo and his fellow enthusiasts are determined to help make the Gregorian chants soar again. Twice a year, they run a weekend course on the ancient music form in a monastery in hills outside Florence. This year, there are about 20 students. Aged from 19 up to 70, they're from all around Europe with a wide range of musical abilities. 25-year-old Rosie is a classical guitarist.
Everyone who wrote sacred music up until the end of the 1700s based themselves on the Gregorian chant music, so I think it's essential for a musician to study the chant to properly complete their training.
Giuseppe Ibarra, an economist from Spain, is interested more in the historical context of the chants.
The language of chant is very important. I think it's fundamental for understanding the history of the West. The songs are actually transmitting values and concepts for life.
From the first day, it's apparent that the Gregorian chants aren't as simple as they sound. Part of the problem is the notation. Forget crotchets and quavers. Instead, there are neumes, little square symbols written above the text, which explain the pitch. The rhythm is dictated by the words of the chants, meaning they're sung as they're spoken. But they're in Latin, and not even the experts can really be sure of the beat.
Because semiology is a science, those directors who study these neumes certainly find common rules to understand them. But I will direct the chant in one way and someone else in another. It's all about putting your own soul into the interpretation of a passage.
One thing is certain. There's no place for the vocal stylings of a Streisand or a Meatloaf. Budding Gregorianisti must walk in the sandals of those for whom the chants were a way of bonding and praying to God. The earliest chanters were monks and nuns of the first millennium. The practice helped create a sense of community in the monasteries and convents.
Saint Benedict's rule for the monasteries was ora et labora, work and pray. So the life of a monk was divided between work and prayer in continuation. Each 3 hours, even at night, they joined together to pray. So these chants were sung every 3 hours.
So teacher Sandro Danti says each line begins and ends humbly. Certain words, according to their meaning, are exalted. Others, for the same reason, are diminished. The text, taken from the Bible, is key. Although their hallelujahs are never quite up to par, by the end of the weekend the students are declaiming Latin like Virgil and intoning their way without breaths through lengthy tracks like veteran scuba divers. But is it enough? Could they too join the monks at Vespers at the Church of San Miniato al Monte? Well, the teachers say, there's always hope.
The Gregorian chants require continual practice and study. The monks were able to do it because they chanted each day at certain hours. This daily practice would help everyone.